there is a very real and very rational risk that this whole thing with Russia goes nuclear in the very near future. And this is not being factored in by hardly anyone. People like Steve Quayle are aware of it and talking about it. And, you know, a few other commentators, Alex Jones and so on. But by and large, most people are not really considering the fact that Russia now has the internal self-justification for launching a retaliatory nuclear strike against the United States or Western NATO countries, such as Poland. Poland is one of the most likely targets in a retaliatory strike, by the way. You see, the United States has been pretending for quite some time, since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, they've been pretending that the U.S. is not waging war with Russia. They've been pretending that this is just Ukraine fighting back, while the U.S. is funneling all kinds of weapon systems, you know, not just javelins and anti-tank systems, but also anti-air systems and anti-aircraft and armored vehicles and ammunition and everything else. They've been funneling all that, plus training to the Ukrainian people, which, you know, on one side you could argue, well, of course, the people of Ukraine have the right to defend themselves. Although, of course, the left would argue that America doesn't have the right to defend its own borders. So, you know, more hypocrisy on that front. But with the sinking of the Moskva ship, what you actually saw was the United States running the surveillance military aircraft that tracked the ship and then handed over the coordinates and firing solution to the shore-based missile batteries that were fired by the Ukrainians to destroy the Moskva. This played right into Putin's hands. And I know I've covered this in a previous situation update, but I have some new analysis here today. So just to summarize, Putin now has the domestic support that he needs in order to escalate a retaliatory strike against the United States, because what he can claim domestically, and this is what you're seeing in the Russian press, is that America and NATO essentially sank the Moskva unprovoked, that America was the aggressor, that America is involved in destroying the Russian Navy. Again, this is the justification that Russia is using. But this gives Putin tremendous domestic power, political capital, including capital with his own military, to get wholesale approval for any kind of retaliation attacks against the United States. And those attacks would be nuclear, because that's how Russia can reach out and touch the U.S., is through nuclear weapons. Now, you might think, well, Russia wouldn't do that because America would launch its own retaliation and you have mutually assured destruction, and that's why nobody's going to launch nuclear weapons. Well, I disagree, and here's why. Russia has very effective anti-ICBM air defense systems. Now, those systems aren't perfect, but Russia has the most advanced systems in the world, the S-500s and the S-400s, and so on. This means that Russia could knock out many, not all, but many of the ICBM warheads that could be launched by the United States. In addition, the United States military has old technology. I mean, we're talking about missiles that were designed in the 1970s that are still in use today, and they don't have anything in terms of advanced technology like what Russia has. So Russia has hyperglide vehicles. And when we say vehicles, it's really a warhead on the tip of the ICBM. So as the ICBM reenters the atmosphere coming down from, you know, outer space, essentially, the nose opens up, and then these multiple reentry vehicles are released, kind of like a little swarm. And some of these, quote, vehicles, known as MIRVs, M-I-R-V, they are just straight up simple warheads with, I don't know, 1 megaton or some yield like that, very high yield, or maybe more than 1 megaton. But then other vehicles are hyperglide vehicles, and those vehicles can evade and maneuver and adapt in order to hit very specific targets. I mean, they're extremely accurate, and they cannot be shot down by anything in the United States arsenal. So that's Russian technology. America does not have that technology. So in other words, Russia can take out any target in the United States at will in about 30 minutes. America can't defend against that. It has no defense whatsoever. Whereas America's ICBMs, they can be launched, but Russia can shoot down many of the reentry vehicles because Russia has the more advanced anti-aircraft and even anti-ballistic missile technology. So you understand that Russia could launch a nuclear weapon and even absorb a retaliatory strike by the United States, and Russia would still be able to survive because they could shoot down quite a number of the reentry vehicles where the United States cannot, and the United States would be just utterly devastated, just completely destroyed. Now, let us hope that that scenario does not unfold. But if cooler heads were prevailing, then the U.S. wouldn't have just helped Ukraine destroy a Russian flagship Moskva. What is that? Is it a frigate? Is it a cruiser? I'm not sure what class it is, but it's a major ship. And the U.S. is just begging for retaliation from Russia. And that may be coming. Now, if you read some of the analysis of the military experts online, which I do, and I listen to their interviews and so on, such as Colonel McGregor and others, many of these people believe that Russia's likely nuclear targets would be in Europe, not the United States. So that could include Poland, for example, where there's a lot of staging of troops and, you know, hardware and missile systems and so on. That is a very likely target for Russia to strike, would be eastern Poland. But in addition, Russia could fire something of a kind of a warning shot, which would be, let's say, launching a nuclear missile towards the United States or maybe off the coast of the United States and detonating it in the ocean or something. I don't think that's a very likely scenario, but it is a possible scenario, or even launching one into a desert somewhere in the U.S. It's just that kind of thing absolutely risks a major U.S. retaliatory strike, so I don't think that's very likely on Russia's part, but it is possible. But the far more likely targets are Western European nations, and here's why. This is the new analysis. Western European nations do not have very many nuclear weapons. Nothing compared to Russia, and nothing compared to China or the United States. So in terms of who has the most nukes right now, it's the U.S., followed by China, and then followed by Russia. But the Western European nations do not have much in the way of nuclear weapons. And secondly, this is the far more important point, is that due to the economic sanctions against Russia, Russia is no longer trading with Western European nations at all. Well, except maybe a few energies contracts that are probably about to be canceled soon anyway. So in other words, Russia has no economic ties to Western Europe. Russia has no financial incentive to maintain the status quo in Western Europe. By deplatforming Russia from the financial system, the SWIFT system, and declaring Russia to be, you know, pure evil, where no one can do business with Russia, Western nations have created the kind of nationalism or protectionism that has historically led to war. As the saying goes, if goods and services don't cross borders, then tanks and missiles will, you know, or some similar version of that quote. And so Russia has, in essence, come to the realization that Western European nations represent no upside but a very major threat against Russia. So this means that Russia, you know, tragically but logically, Russia can only conclude that it benefits, again, this is Russian reasoning, not my reasoning, certainly not the reasoning of the West, but in Putin's own mind, on his chessboard, he can only conclude that destroying Western Europe is in his interests because of the situation that has been presented by the Western European leaders. As I said, the economic sanctions, the escalation of war, the fact that all these Western nations are sending weapons to Ukraine and have now destroyed one of the major flagships of the Russian Navy. So all of this, these are conditions that have been put in place by NATO and the United States in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But it puts Russia in a position where retaliation on a highly escalated scale is now extremely likely. At least in my view, it is. I hope it doesn't happen, but just look at the facts, look at the dynamics here. The whole world, the Western world, is saying that Russia has no right to exist. I mean, Russian athletes are being deplatformed from freaking Wimbledon tennis tournaments. I mean, I didn't even know there still was Wimbledon going on. Does anybody pay attention to tennis? I mean, who cares? Who cares about your furry little green tennis balls? We're all about to get nuked. I mean, who is paying attention to sports? What a colossal waste of time. People need to be prepping. People need to be getting ready to have global thermonuclear war. People need to be ready for the collapse of energy systems, the collapse of the power grid, the collapse of food infrastructure and rail infrastructure, all these things we've covered. But they're watching freaking tennis balls. I mean, hopeless, totally hopeless. You can't help some people, but whatever. The point is, Western nations are just trying to demonize Russia into non-existence and saying that Russia has no right to exist. So they've left no room for negotiation. They've left no room for common ground, no room for compromise. You know, what would common ground be? Well, the initial demands of Putin that he placed on Ukraine, which was, hey, get rid of all these missiles on your border, allow the eastern regions to join Russia as they vote to do so. Same thing with Crimea. And I don't know, a couple other demands, you know, agree not to join NATO, for example. These were Russia's initial demands. Ukraine rejected them. But it shows you that Russia was willing to not invade. Russia was willing to negotiate, which means there should be an effort to negotiate right now and stop the carnage, stop the loss of life, stop the killing of Ukrainian citizens who are dying by the thousands because the war is going on, obviously. And then Western nations keep sending more weapons to Ukraine, which is ultimately just getting more Ukrainians killed. And of course, the left-wing media and the left-wing cultured lunatics are just out of their minds, insane over this, claiming like children that everything Russia is bad, everything Ukraine is heavenly and perfect, and that Ukraine is winning the war somehow, and that Putin's being destroyed somehow, and that anyone who questions the official narrative is a traitor or something. They even attacked General Michael Flynn lately for just having an honest, rational analysis of the situation. But of course the left is totally insane. They are clueless. They have no information, no knowledge about anything. Vaccines, economics, elections, Ukraine, history, oil, energy, technology, anything. They are a zero-knowledge culture of cultists and lunatics. They don't know anything, but they claim to have a monopoly on facts and truth. And they claim that anybody who disagrees with them is engaged in hate speech or disinformation and therefore must be, you know, censored. So the West, that culture of the West has become a threat to the entire world. But frankly, that's a whole different discussion. But that culture feeds into the demonization of Russia and the political decisions and economic decisions that are isolating Russia, which is sort of funneling Russia into a retaliatory response that will only escalate the conflict and ultimately could kill millions of Americans. I mean, Trump even warned about this lately. He said, you know, if we don't stop this madness, I'm paraphrasing, but if we don't find a way to peace and have some negotiation, you know, have some mutual agreement here, then everybody dies. That's what Trump said. Everybody dies. And he's absolutely correct about that. If this goes to nuclear war, everybody dies, maybe not instantly, not in the mushroom cloud itself, but then everybody dies from the radiation and the massive fallout, food poisoning, cesium, everything else. And of course, the total supply chain collapse that would be far worse than anything we've seen so far. Trump gets it. Biden doesn't get it. Lunatic Democrats don't get it. They want nuclear war with Russia. They think that you can just nuke Russia and then everything's going to return to normal in the U.S. and grocery prices will fall back to normal, everything's going to be fine. They're just delusional. They're dangerously delusional. You try to nuke Russia, Russia's going to nuke the crap out of the United States. There will be nothing left, understand. There will be no Washington, D.C., no New York City, no Los Angeles, nothing. Russia can hit every city in America, you know, 10 times over. And there's absolutely nothing that America can do to stop it. So these left-wing lunatics and fake politicians like Joe Biden, if they don't come to their senses on this, they could kill the world. They need to come to their senses and realize you don't poke the nuclear bear. You sit down at a table and you negotiate. And you find common ground. That's the only way out of this. It's amazing to me that leftists always pretend to be so inclusive and tolerant and loving and compassionate. But then when it comes down to it, they're like, kill all Russians, murder Putin, nuke Russia. And also they want to murder all Christians too, by the way. They want to murder all white people for some insane reason. They want to murder Trump supporters, gun owners, Christians, conservatives, everybody. It's just mass murderers. It's a death cult of vaccine pimps. And frankly, they're killing themselves. It's a death cult of suicidal lunatics. So this is what we're facing right now, folks. The greatest threat in the world right now is not Russia. It is the fact that Western nations, including the United States, are forcing Russia into a nuclear retaliation. That's the greatest threat. I mean, this is a very, very dangerous game theory scenario. And Putin is a master of game theory. He's a chess master, by the way. I mean, he can outthink and outmaneuver almost everybody on planet Earth. He is one of the highest IQ individuals. He is not doing anything out of irrationality or stupidity, unlike Joe Biden, who doesn't even know what day it is. He turns around, tries to shake the hand of someone who's not even there on stage. I mean, Joe Biden was led around by the freaking Easter Bunny. You know, Putin would never allow such an insane thing to happen. But anyway, this is what we're dealing with. So better pray that cooler heads prevail here, or we're all going to be living in a nuclear winter. So much for global warming. You'll just have nuclear fallout everywhere and you'll be trying to not die from radiation. Better get prepared, folks. Check out my website, prepwithmike.com, for more preparedness videos. And of course, you can read my articles and analysis at naturalnews.com as well as brighteon.com. Thank you for listening. Take care.